War. We're going to talk about war today. We're in a season of war. This is Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com, and we're close to the end of March. Time moves on quickly. We're in a season of war. We're in a season of war internationally. We're in a season of war. Well, you consider for yourselves, are we at a season of war domestically, whether you're in Sweden or Norway or Austria or Australia or Canada or the United States? I don't know. There's reason to think we are. So we need to talk about war. And for the war, I'm going to talk about a guy named Samson. And before we talk about Samson, I need to talk about the difference between faith in our God and faith in a religion. And my interest is not in a code of morality, as if that was a good thing. My interest is not in a set of doctrines. My interest is not in a religion. My interest is in loyalty to a king. It's a personal, direct loyalty. Sworn by individuals, by families, by tribes, by nations, to a monarch by the name of Jesus Christ, who's the creator. And as Jesus Christ warned, he warned his followers. He says, listen, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. There's going to be a tendency amongst you all, followers of me, to reduce loyalty to Jesus Christ to a religion. I'm not interested in that. Jesus Christ was not interested in that. And we need to clear that up a little bit. We need to talk about that before we can even get to Samson. One aspect of that is what it means to be a Christian. And I would tell you that the people we're going to talk about in the next few weeks, nobody's going to be able to come out and say, hey, they're a good Christian man. They're a good Christian men. Because he violates a lot of the religious sort of moral demands that modern evangelicals would put upon them. Samson is a perfect example of that. So we got to go through it and we got to talk about that. But if you want to know what I'm coming from, well, I've mentioned before that Moses made his debut upon the scene. I mean, aside from the fact that he was a good-looking kid, the Bible's very clear, he was good-looking. So that's why his mom spared his life and put him in the reed basket. But he made his own debut on the world historical scene by murdering a man of a different race. And he had racial loyalty to the Hebrews. And in that, he demonstrated his loyalty to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know of anything about Moses that suggested that he had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ before the burning bush. But at some point, he made a very distinct internal vow, an internal decision to be loyal to his race of Hebrews. And when he saw an Egyptian harassing some of his racial brethren, he murdered him and buried the Egyptian's body in the sand. You say, well, that's not a very good Christian. Now, I think Moses was about 40 years old at that time. He enjoyed all the wealth and pleasures of Egypt, as you can imagine, a young prince, his money, his wealth, his harems. And now he goes and he murders an Egyptian. So Moses takes off. He leaves. Ends up with Jethro, and he marries one of Jethro's daughters. And then later on, he has an encounter with God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the burning bush, and he's commissioned to go back to Egypt. So you say, well, what was wrong with all that? Well, I don't know. Is that the kind of guy that you want to be your leader, Mr. Evangelical? He had an interesting past, and then he's a race murderer. All right, I'm not here to talk about Moses. I'm here to talk about Samson. All right, so here's Israel. And this corresponds a lot of us, a lot of where our countries are at today. Israel's oppressed by the Philistines. It's oppressed by a foreign race, foreign gods, foreign people, because Israel had not been faithful and loyal to their monarch. Okay, they had not been faithful and loyal to their monarch, Jesus Christ. Now, they didn't know of him by the name of Jesus Christ at that point. Nevertheless, Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the creator and judge. And he has never changed. Keep that in mind. The nature and character of God has never changed. There's not a God of the Old Testament and then a God of the New Testament. That's a modern heresy. It's another little slice of the 11 of the Pharisees. Oh yeah, the God of the Old Testament, he was mean and judgmental, and then there's the gentle God of Jesus in the New Testament. I reject that. I dispute that. That's a tradition of men that's come in and undermined the truth of the Holy Scriptures. Simple as that. It's just another way of these man-made traditions coming in and undermining everything. Now, if you want to know what I'm talking about theologically and scripturally, Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, that's the heart of it right here. The heart of the traditions of men and the heart of the conflict between Jesus Christ and the Pharisees is Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. The Pharisees sought out Jesus Christ. They left Jerusalem and went to find Jesus Christ and said, hey, y'all aren't following the religion. And Jesus was right up in their grill. Didn't say, oh, well, but this, well, but that. He turned right around. He says, how come you've abandoned the law of God for your man-made traditions? All right, and it talks about that there. And later on, he warns his followers, man, there's going to be a real temptation to slide down that slippery slope of you raising up your traditions of men above the law and the prophets, above the word of God. So keep that in mind as we discuss the nature and the character of Samson, a mighty warrior, a bloody man. And for those of you that know about Samson, you know, where does Samson fit in your church hierarchy? Where does Samson fit in your deacon list as your associate pastor or as your senior pastor? Does he fit in there? Who was this guy? Hebrews chapter 11 makes it very clear that he's a saint of God. He's a saint of God. A man of faith. Honored, deeply honored by God Almighty and memorialized in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to get to the other men there, but time will fail to tell me of Barak and Gideon and Samson and Jephthah and David and the prophets. We're going to get to these guys. We are in a time of war. We're in a season of war. It's war in Europe right now. Will it spread? Probably. I've mentioned many times on this channel about how, in many respects, things have gone kinetic domestically. I'm not talking about the January Sixers. I'm talking about Antifa and BLM, where they're literally burning down American cities and throwing Molotov cocktails at whomever they choose to throw them at. And about how police forces are rounding up political dissenters and throwing them in jail. Not just the Jan Sixers. 61-year-old woman out in elected official out in Colorado, thrown in jail, $500,000 bail. FBI SWAT team goes in there as if she's some sort of kinetic threat. I've mentioned before about the National Security Council's strategy to combat violent domestic terrorism. The targeting of Americans for political ideas, for political thoughts. Already gone on. We talk about the Canadian truckers seizing bank accounts. You talk about multi-dimensional warfare. Everything that the United States and Europe are trying to put on Russia right now, we've already been doing that to our own people in the United States and in Canada. Economic warfare, you can neither buy nor sell. Demonetized, deplatformed. And it's only going to increase. It's only going to. There's no point at which they're going to say, oh, okay, now we're done. We're going to restore some civil freedoms to Americans, and we'll never do that again. It's not going to happen. This is only going to increase. I want people to have a reality check about that. All this stuff out there, you're going, yay, you know, we're taking away their boats and this and that. what makes you think they're going to stop with Russian billionaires? They've already started on American poor people for having the wrong political thoughts, and Canadian poor people that had the gumption to give, you know, $25 or $50 to support peaceful truckers in Canada. What makes you think they're going to stop there? It works. They got away with it. They're going to keep using that technique and procedure. So in a sense, we already have come to a situation of warfare, certainly in North America. I think the Kiwis and the Aussies have their own opinions on that. Heard things have been gotten a little mixed up down there. It's already gone kinetic down there in the fact that they're arresting and beating people for simply having a different political or moral opinion on items. We've talked about how in Scandinavia, in England, and Canada, preachers are getting arrested for quoting the Holy Scriptures. And it's all this is just going to increase. It's going to increase, increase, increase until we've had a belly full of it and are willing to stand up and do something about it. Now, where is that point? I don't know. I don't know. I don't need to know. And that's been my position. Rebel Leader One knows. I don't need to know. I have my little job. I know some people in the military, and they have these military occupational specialties. And, you know, somebody said, well, I'm a 25 November, or I'm an 18 Delta, or I'm a whatever it is, 16 Mama Charlie. I don't know. Just make these things up. So we all have our rank and role and specialty as we proceed through our lives. And we have to do that which we are called to do. And everyone's is different. Everybody has got something slightly different because God created us differently. He made us differently, gave us different talents and different abilities. Many, 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 many people will not be held responsible for doing what I am doing because they can't do what I can do. They can't do what I'm doing right now. They can't. It's not a bad thing. It's like me playing professional basketball. I can't do it. I can't do it. It ain't bad. It's just the fact. But it's going to take all of us figuring out what we need to do. Now, back to Samson. Israel's in a bad shape. This is before the kings, before the monarchy. It's the time of the judges. And angel comes up to this woman. I said, woman, I know you're barren, but you're going to have a kid. As you go along, I don't want you, woman, to be drinking alcohol or eating unclean foods. You're going to have a kid. He's going to deliver Israel. She's like, wow. And so she gets her husband and says, you know, you need to go talk to this guy. So they talk to the guy, and he says the same thing. And this angel of the Lord, they sacrifice, bring him a goat and some food, and he does some amazing things, and then the angel ascends in the cloud. And I don't have any great insight on that. In any case, the woman gives birth and names the boy Samson. All right? So let's start here in Judges chapter 13. Now, the sons of Israel, again, did evil in the sight of the Lord. Why is the United States in the situation it's in? Because the Christians, the nation as a whole, have turned away from Jesus Christ. Simple. You want to know when George Washington swore an oath when he was sworn into the President of the United States, he opened the Bible to Deuteronomy 28, according to what I've written. It's the blessings and the curse. Deuteronomy 28, you're not going to serve God, you'll be cursed. So that the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. So the Lord appears to the woman. And he says, this guy, Samson's going to be a Nazarite. Of course, who's the other Nazarite that we know of? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ, a Nazarite. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, we're going to get into the character of Samson here. But I really want Christians to get over this idea that they're supposed to be these flavorless, tofu-like things that have no what we would call issues. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 31, by faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient. after she welcomed the spies in peace? Well, she was, you know, no, Rahab the harlot, woman of faith. Then it talks about Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Samuel hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord of Gilgal. We're not doing that today. Here's a prophet of God, man of God, takes a sword and he chops the guy to pieces. Well, that's not a very good, you know, Christian witness. Bible says we're supposed to offend no man in any way. Hey, listen right here. Hebrews chapter 11. These are the men of faith. All right? We're going to do a whole separate one on Barak. I love Barak. And we've talked a lot about Gideon. Today it's Samson. So here's... So here's Judges chapter 14. Samson saw a woman who looked good to him, a daughter of the Philistines. Philistines, by the way, were not the Canaanites, different race, essentially. Philistines came out of Mizraim, which is Egypt. Canaanites came from Canaan, which is a son of Ham. Just a little aside there. So he said to his dad, she looks good. Get her for me. And his dad's going, can't you just marry somebody of your own race? Come on. However, his father and mother did not know that this was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Now, at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel. All right? So this is interesting. He's sort of breaking his dad's, you know, wishes. And so he's, you know, Samson's doing his thing. He kills a lion with his bare hands. And at some point he finds, you know, honey inside the lion. And he's having the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily and he went down. Yeah, anyway, he has a wedding feast. I'm getting ahead of myself here. There's a wedding feast. He's going to marry this gal. And he gives him a riddle. He's, look, you know, out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the killer came something sweet. If you can tell me the name of the riddle, you know, I'll give you 30 sets of clothing. If you can't, you give me 30 sets of clothing. So they can't figure it out, and they go to the woman, and they go to this bride, and they say, listen, we're going to burn you alive unless you tell us what the secret is. And so she does. Now, lesson number one. Lesson number one. Do not think they're not going to fight dirty. The enemy will fight dirty. They will blackmail you. They will blackmail those close to you. They will threaten you and those close to you, burning you with fire in order to gain an advantage. Do not think they won't do this. The Bible says they will. Right here. They go to the woman and say, we're going to burn you up, you and your father's household, unless you tell us the secret. You know, rat them out. We want intel on Samson. Give us the intel. This is a war of intelligence. Give us the secrets of our enemies. Otherwise we're going to burn you up. So she does. So Samson says, okay, all right, fine. So now he owes them 30 sets of clothing. So you know what he does? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon, and he killed 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave the changes of clothes to those who told them the riddle. Now, we live in a time and an age when I'm going to just use this term generically, the left doesn't need to obey any rules, but we're supposed to keep every single rule there is. They can, like I said, they can burn down cities, weapons of mass destruction, throw Molotov cocktails at the police or try to burn down buildings. They can secede from the Union. CHAZ was a secession from the United States of America and the state of Washington. And one of the leaders of that city of Seattle turned around and hired him. So they can break all the rules. But, oh, God, we got to keep every rule. Oh, you trespassed into the Capitol Hill on January 6th. Oh, you talked about trespassing into Capitol Hill on January 6th. You know somebody. You don't even know anybody that trespassed, and they're going to still come after you. They did me. They did me. They told me to my face because of January 6th. All right. So Samson says, you know what? I'm not impressed by your little rules. So they win the bet. So he goes down and he kills 30 men. I said, all right, here you go. He killed 30 men to pay off the bet. Now, y'all have a couple issues with that. First, you shouldn't be betting, right? So he was a bad Christian because he was out there gambling and betting. And he's a bad Christian because he murdered 30 men to pay off his bet. My suggestion is that we're going to have to get outside of our narrow-minded limitations on what we think a man of God can or cannot be. He may not come to you in a way that you expect. Certainly Jesus Christ did not. People looked at Jesus Christ and they're going, we don't know what to do with him. John came, neither eating or drinking, fasting, and they said he has a demon. He said the Son of Man comes, he's eating and drinking, and they call him a glutton and a wine bibber. They did not know what to do with Jesus Christ. Didn't know what to do with him. Pharisees were good moral people. I do not dispute that one bit. There's nothing that I can see that suggests to me that the Pharisees had quote-unquote moral issues. Paul is very clear. He says, I was Pharisee of the Pharisee. I was perfect in the law. Yet they were evil, evil people because they set up their own religion. They set up their own religion. They said, yeah, we know all about God's law and all this, but they set up their own religion. They were rebellious. So here's Samson. He wants this woman, going to marry this woman, kills 30 guys, gambles. God had a plan. Careful who you reject because they're not a good Christian. Oh, and what happens to his wife? Well, they didn't burn her down because she did rat him out. They put the squeeze on her. This is full-scale warfare. Don't think these are guys out there with sticks and a couple knives and they're just out in the jungle trying to fight. This is full-scale warfare, just like we're seeing today. What is the weakness that Samson has? How can we get at him? Let's blackmail his bride-to-be and threaten her with death by burning, and we'll find out the secrets. We'll get the intel on the enemy. Don't think it's not happening today. Of course it's happening today. Right in our midst it's happening. So the wife, so the dad of the wife says, oh, God, I guess he doesn't like her anymore. So he gives Samson's wife to Samson's friend. Samson comes back and says, where's my wife? And he says, oh, I thought you didn't like her anymore, so I gave her to your friend. So his wife, he was supposed to marry his wife, and she ends up with another dude. You talk about heartache and heartbreak. There's a lot of that involved in this warfare, too. So Samson says, okay, you dirty, rotten scoundrels. Then you get to the story where he finds, and you've read this, he gets 300 foxes, ties a burning torch between their tails and lets them go into their field. And he burns down all the stuff. And they're like, oh, yay, yay, yay. Go, Samson. Well, first of all, shouldn't Samson have gone to the authorities? Shouldn't he have sued them? Or taken it up and done a peaceful demonstration with the legitimate authority in the government? Wasn't he getting a little ahead of himself? So a lot of Christians right there are going to have a big issue with Samson. The Bible says submit to the authorities, Samson. Samson didn't do that, did he? Didn't do that. Romans 13. Now let's talk about those foxes. What do you think it takes to catch 300 foxes? I've seen foxes. They're besides the fact that they're beautiful creatures, they're quick and they're smart and they're fast. How are you going to catch a fox alive? You're not going to go out there with your .223 and shoot them. You got to have these suckers alive. How are you going to catch 300 foxes? How are you going to catch 300 foxes and then put them in cages until you catch the 300? How did Samson come up with this idea? This is unconventional warfare he's engaged in. This is guerrilla warfare. Where did Samson get this idea? I think he's a pretty smart guy. And he probably had some good advice. We know he had friends because they gave his wife to one of his friends. So yeah, you will have people that betray you. You absolutely will have people that betray you. This is part of war. We've seen that already. We've seen that a lot across the United States for those of you that are paying attention. People that claim they're on the same side and they turn out to be utter traitors. Guess what? Jesus Christ had the same problem, okay? He chose Judas himself. Judas turns around and betrays him. Traitor. Samson had the same thing. One of his companions took his wife. Traitor. Blackmail. How many friends do you think Samson had? How many guys did it take to catch 300 foxes? How long do you think it took? How long did you do you think it took to build cages for 300 foxes? Did he have to buy or pay for a separate warehouse to keep these foxes while he was catching the last 50 of them? How did he feed them? This was had a long logistics train. It took some smarts, some planning, some preparation, some organization, and he needed a team of people. Use your imagination on this. You don't just go out there and catch 300 foxes. You just don't do that. You don't just say, okay, I got 300 foxes, you know, in my right arm, in my left arm, I'm gonna start lighting these torches, and then at the same time, tie the tails together and let them go. This was a big project. It was an unconventional warfare project. It was economic warfare. So he gets all these foxes. He's got them caged up. He's got to build all the torches. You need whatever, dried, you know, straw. You got to dip them in pitch or tar or something. You got to have a fire set up nearby so you can light these torches. You got to have all the string and a rope to tie the tails together. You need a team of people to do this. This isn't one man. I don't care how strong you are. You need more than one guy to do this. And then where are you going to where and when are you going to let these foxes go? Well, you're probably not going to do it in the middle of the winter when it's wet and cold and there's nothing to burn, are you? It's going to take you months to plan and prepare for this. And then you're going to wait until it's the peak of the dry season. Let's say August. All the grain's out there drying out. You got the stacks of hay out there drying and the grain's drying. It's gone from, you look at a wheat field in the spring, it's beautiful, lush green. And then August, early September, it's just, you know, the golden, it's the wheat color. It's beautiful. It's all dried and it's all ready to go. So it takes a month. He gets to that point and he says, okay, now we're ready. He gets his team together. And now you got to tie up. How do you do this? How do you tie? These little foxes are biting him, man. He's got to have gloves and the whole nine yards, protect PPE. So him and his team, they're tying the tails of these foxes together. And that's dangerous in itself. And then you set them aside, or you got to put them somewhere, and then you got to get these torches going. And he's already had the map crew out. He's had his cartographers out there. He's surveyed the land. He's done his clandestine mapping of the enemy territory. And he says, here's what we're going to hit. We're going to hit these grain fields that they haven't harvested yet. We're going to hit these fields that with stacked grains that are drying in there. We're going to hit the vineyards, and we're going to hit their groves of trees. So he did recon and specifically targeted the areas that he wanted to hit. This is full-on guerrilla warfare and economic warfare. Note that he wasn't going after people this time. He was going after their economy and their industry. Oh, you guys didn't know the Bible was full of economic and economic warfare, did you? Oh, it's there. It's there. I've told people for 30 years, if people read the Bible, they'd make it illegal. So here's Samson. Not only do we have murder, not only do we have blackmail and spies, but now we got economic warfare, guerrilla warfare. So he lets these foxes go, and they burn up both the shocks and the standing grain along with the vineyard and the groves. All right? Bad news, baby, bad news. Philistines are ticked. So Samson takes off. He goes and he stays in a certain place. You know, he had to bug out for a while. Things got a little hot in town. He said, let's bug out. We're going to go bug out. He's going to go. He's hanging out down there. And so the Philistines are ticked. They're like, no, this cannot be allowed to stand. So the Philistines, they go over to the sons of Judah, they camp out, and they said, "We're going to slaughter your butt unless you give us Samson. We realize you didn't do this, and Samson did, so we want him. And if you don't, we're gonna come after you. We're going to come after you, your sons, your daughters, your fields, your farms, everything. Turn them over to us, otherwise we will utterly wipe you out." Now, this is exactly the same thing that happens in a conventional war. Go back and think about World War II. Think about the French partisans. I mean, just as one little silly little example. So you got the French partisans. These are irregular warfare people. They were in a land occupied by, in their own country, occupied by the Germans. And they would go out and do things like assassinate German officers or blow up trains or trucks. And they would do all these little unconventional warfare things to make life miserable for the German occupiers. And so what's one of the things that happened? Listen, man, this town that you're from, we're going to go through and we're going to just start killing people. We're going to just start pulling random people out and shooting people, killing people. We find out you came from a certain family. They're all dead. Your sisters, your daughters, yeah, it's even worse than that. What do you think happened in the Vietnam War when these things were going on? Oh, yeah, this town harbors the Viet Cong. What do you think happens in that town that's harboring the Viet Cong? Not good things. Bad things happen to that town. Gee, a little town in Vietnam, how come there's no men of military age here anymore? Seems pretty strange to me. By the way, we found a whole cache of AK-47s and ammo. Huh. Oh, whoops. Sorry, the town just burned down. So this was what was going on with Samson. Philistines show up and they go to Judah. So we are your worst enemy unless you turn over Samson to us. So the guys were like, God, this is a bad situation. So they go down to Samson. So Samson, look, we're in a pickle. And we're not giving our kids up just to save you. So please come with us so we can turn you over to them. Samson, all right, fine. Just, you know, bind my legs and stuff and turn me over to them. So he does. They do. He gives them over to the Philistines. Samson's strength comes upon him. He breaks loose. Now, here's a man by himself, and he realizes, you know, his brothers from Judah, they're not going to fight for him. He doesn't have a Special Forces A-team showing up with javelins and tow missiles from Egypt or Babylon. He's got no foreign aid. He's got no foreign partners. He has no modern weapons. He picks up the jawbone of an ass, a jawbone of a donkey, a new one. It wasn't brittle. And he uses it as a club, and he just kills 1,000 Philistines, 1,000 of them. So he's not waiting on a foreign power to parachute in, C4 or you know, whatever kind of weapons they have. You look at the Ukrainians, and they're getting all these anti-tank missiles and man pads, surface-to-air things. No. Samson just said, here's what I got. Let's go, baby. It's time to go. Kills 1,000 of them. Now, I know all the little Christian ladies out there, they're going to say, well, he was a bad man. He's not a good Christian man. He had a problem with lust. And he had a problem with murder. And he had a problem with gambling. This is the guy that God used to deliver Israel. This will happen. You want partisan warfare? It's as ugly as it can get, according to the Holy Scriptures. Those of you that studied history know for a fact. I mean, I know guys that have been in every war zone there is for the last 30, 40 years. It's not pretty. It's not fun. And it's not fair either. There's nothing fair about it. So Samson, chapter 15, Samson found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. So he reached out and he took it and he killed 1,000 men with it. He says, I have killed 1,000 men. So later on, he finds another woman. Judges 16:1. Now Samson went to Gaza and he saw a harlot there. And he went into her. So Samson's down in Gaza. She's a good-looking gal, harlot, you know, woman that's available for whatever. And he goes into her. Well, that's not a good Christian leader. So the Philistines notice this, and the leaders of the Philistines, they go to her and said, look, we got this guy is bad news to us. He's really bad news. Would you please betray him? We'll give you 1,000 pieces of silver each if you figure out his secret. So it took her a few tries, but eventually she does. Finally, she figures out what it is. And so the leaders of the Philistines come to her. They got 1,000 pieces of silver each. She can live for the rest of her life and be a rich woman. And, you know, at that point, Samson said, yeah, I cut my hair. She cut her hair. And so they came in and took him, poked out his eyes. Poked out his eyes, and they enslaved him. And later on, he you know the story about he's standing between the pillars of the temple. His hair has grown back, and he has enough strength to push over the temple on all these people. And the Bible says, so the dead whom he killed in his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. How many did he kill? Well, he killed a lot. We know of 1,000 on one occasion, and we know of 30 on another. But he killed a lot more in his death when he pushed the temple down, not only on the Philistines, but upon himself. So let's wrap this up. What kind of a... So we've got unconventional warfare. We've got guerrilla warfare. We have blackmail. We have threats on family members to extract intel. We have economic warfare. We have... what do you call it? It's group punishment. In other words, it wasn't good enough just to go after Samson. So we're going to go after all these people unless you give this guy up. It's full gamut warfare. It's full gamut domestic conflict here. And they had to live through this. And the Bible says he judged Israel for 20 years? That's just Samson. We'll get to David. We'll get to Jephthah. We'll get to Samuel. We'll get to Barak. We'll get to Deborah. We'll get to Deborah, too. We'll get to Jael. I love Jael. Now, the enemy, the devil, wants Christians to be good little Christians. And be good little moral people and obey every little law. Because right now, in this day and age, 2022 in the United States, who runs the law? Well, it's not the Christians. Not when you have CRT and LGBTQ pumped through our schools. Not when they can burn down cities and we're thrown in jail for thinking a thought or saying a word. So in many ways, the Philistines have come and occupied. They've occupied. In all our countries, in all the countries of Christendom. Somehow we got to get through this. We got to get over this. We owe this not only just for ourselves. We owe this to our children and our grandchildren and our unborn descendants. We owe this to our unborn descendants. How do you expect your unborn descendants to know the gospel of Jesus Christ if they grow up in a situation where it's illegal? And don't tell me we're not there. We're already there. We're already there. We're in a situation like it was in the Soviet Union in the 50s and 60s and 70s, where if a parent actually teaches what is actually in the Bible, the parent's going to be demonetized, dehumanized, demonized, jailed, and they're going to take the kids away and throw them in public school. We're already there. Already there. And you've got this entire apparatus of demonizing people that will go out there and actually teach what the Bible actually says. So the devil wants to reduce the Christian church to a religious organization that says, you know, if you're good little Christianettes and obey the law and obey everything we say and don't say what we don't want you to say, we'll allow you to exist. Kind of the same the way it was under the Philistines back in Samson's times. Hey, if you just turn over 50% of your crop to us, if you let us take your sons and your daughters anytime we want, because we can, and if you don't try to rebel as we ravage you economically and physically and morally and spiritually, then that's okay. You just keep doing what you're doing and keep paying your taxes. We're already in the same situation in the United States of America today. Australia, New Zealand, Canada, all the countries of Christendom. We're already there. And a lot of us are crying out, God. God. And so I guess my message is this is, look, don't reject the people that God's going to send to deliver you. Might be one of you. Might be one of you listening. Maybe you don't have the right life. You're not qualified to be a deacon. I'm not either. But you're going to speak up. You're going to speak your piece. You're going to say your thing. You're going to do with that portion that you're supposed to do. I want to equip you intellectually, mentally, for the realities of this. And this is why I just go to the scriptures. Here's the scriptures. And you're going to have Christian dads out there saying, well, this is the Old Testament. No. It's the Holy Scriptures. Heaven and earth will pass away. The Holy Scriptures will never go away. Oh, but the Old Testament went away. Hey, that's not the scriptures. We don't sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats anymore because we have the blood of Jesus Christ. So there's this tradition that raised up, well, you know, it's Old Testament, and you know, so we don't pay attention to it anymore. Certainly Jesus Christ never felt that way. And we've discussed that quite a bit here at bloodandfaith.com. Am I asking you to go out there and get a jawbone of an ass and kill 1,000 people? No, I'm not. I'm not. Not at all. I'm trying to fill in some blank spots in your mind as to how things might look in a situation that looks like this. You want to know what's going on in the United States in 2022? I don't know. How about looking at what was going on way back in Samson's time? Are there parallels? Wait till we get to Deborah and Barak and JL. We'll do that we'll do that by this weekend. Let's get out of our little narrow singing club and flesh out the fullness of the situation that we may be in. Oh, that's scary. You know, we might offend somebody. Well, yeah, no kidding. All right, you got my point. That's it for now, folks. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. More to come.